Welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Never Have I Ever, where we talk about bugs, blood, and deadly berries. And we close with our BFPs and BFNs. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hey, Shauna.
Hi.
This is episode 105. Do you want to tell us how old your toddler is and what you've been up to this week?
Yeah, she is 17 months and 4 weeks, and it's been a good week. Like, things are kind of evening out a little bit, and it was just like one of those like good weeks. So the things I'm going to talk about are, yeah, kind of just like fun or funny little things about about toddler behavior. So,
I love that.
Yeah. So the first thing is that she's starting to show a very strong preference for things now. Not just like food and stuff, just like unusual things. Like, I got a new pair of shorts from Target recently. And
for yourself.
I put them on. For myself, yeah. I put them on, and the first time she saw them, she just started crying and like pulling them and like trying to get them off of me.
Are they really that bad?
I mean, they are kind of like a tragic shade of orange. Like, I bought them online. So, you know, you never really know. It's just like, oh, that is not my color. She's definitely used to seeing me wear like hot pink, you know, jammy shorts around the house, not like burnt sienna. So maybe that could be it. I was like, okay, message received, but whatever, they're comfortable. So I'm going to wear them. And another example is Elle went to put on a dress the other day, and she's got so many dresses, right? Both of them do, really. Mm-hmm. But Elle has like these super, super fancy, like Easter dresses on crack that she got as hand-me-downs from a friend of ours. They're awesome. You know, to me, I look at them, I'm like, whoa, but Elle loves them, right? She loves wearing them. So she put one of these on the other day, and Cece saw it and just like cried in jealousy.
She
really wanted to wear one. Like, she was looking up at Elle's dresses, and then so I was like, oh, do you want to put one on too? And we went to her closet, and she picked out the fanciest dress that she has, like flowers all over it, kind of like this, I don't even know, sateen kind of fabric with a big bow and everything.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, okay, it's like fancy dress day at our house. It's just... So yeah, she's starting to show preference for what she's wearing.
That's,
you know,
so
her
interesting.
Outfit, she likes to pick stuff. So yeah, that's really cute. And then the other example is another one that's slightly insulting to me. When I start to sing songs that she's familiar with, like, for example, Baba Black Sheep, or I'll sing the Moana song sometimes, like, Moana, make way, right?
Yeah.
So I start singing that, and she looks at Alexa and starts doing this hand sign for more, 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 more. Like, she doesn't want me to sing it. She wants to hear the real thing
from
Alexa.
Oh, man.
So
dissed. You have a good voice. Good. She should.
Thank you, but
she should know when she's lucky.
Yeah, she's some kind of music aficionado or something. She's like, I need to hear that in perfect pitch, please.
I need the original cast recording.
Yeah, she demands to hear it. It's so funny how young she is and just like understands Alexa. I mean, she obviously doesn't understand the complexities of it, but she knows that's where her songs come from. We could talk to it. She likes to, you know, hit the volume button and stuff. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
funny.
My guy, he says stop now, because I'll go, Alexa, stop, when she's playing or whatever. And he goes, stop. He goes, stop.
Oh, my gosh. I love
it. It's just a matter of time before he starts giving her directions.
Yes. Oh, yes. Elle loves doing that. So speaking of singing, another development this week is Cece has started singing. Like,
really?
Yeah. And it totally caught me off guard, because it's not like I'm ever teaching her to sing. Mm-hmm. Like, when I sing songs, it's not because I'm like trying to instruct her. There's this song that we sing a lot. It's like a bye-bye song. So bye-bye bath, bye-bye bath. You know, say bye to the bath and the bath toys. And it's kind of like a fun transition out of something that's, you know, she doesn't want to say goodbye to. So we sing that a lot. So the other day, she and I were in the garage. I was doing something in there, and she had started playing with this little antique rocking chair that was in the garage in storage, and she was enjoying it and stuff, but I was done. So I was like, all right, come on, Cece, it's time to go back in the house now. And I start walking in, and all of a sudden, I hear her go, ba, 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 ba. I mean, you know, it's not perfect English words yet, but mm-hmm. the tune was right.
Yeah.
The context was right.
Totally.
And I was just like, what? So I thought that was pretty cool.
That is very cool.
That's the only song she's singing right now. So we'll see whatever comes next. I don't know. Maybe it'll be Moana.
I was going to say, it's got to be Moana.
Moana for sure. And then the last little thing is she's just getting so interested in what things are called. So her favorite books are those books that it's just like a picture and a word, like truck.
Yeah.
And the next page is like ball.
I kind of hate those books. Do you? Is it just me?
Oh, yeah.
I hate
They're boring.
Them.
There's no narrative, no story.
And he always like grabs them and walks over and wants you to quote unquote read them. And you're like, ugh, yeah, here's... Those yep. Richard Scarry books, do you have any of those? Where they're like weird cartoon cars and stuff?
Yeah, I have a couple of those. I loved those growing up, but I haven't gotten like the ones where it's just like pictures with all the words labeling things.
He has so many. We got them as hand-me-downs, and like they're all car and truck related, I think because they're from his like cousin Brendan, who was like a complete car and truck aficionado. Oh, uh-huh. And he of course loves them, but I'm just like, not this again. Like,
yeah.
Pickle car, it's not even a thing.
And that those books felt so pointless to me for a long time. And now they're starting to make sense to me. I guess maybe I forgot this from Al when Al was little. I don't know. But it's like now I see like she's pointing to things and asking me what they're called in her own little way. Right. She goes like, Daya, Daya. And I tell her and like she's starting to repeat some back and she's making a lot of connections using these little books. So I've become more open to using them with her. I do think they're educational, really educational. The kids love them.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. I just personally, it's like how Cece feels about your orange shorts. They just like rub me the wrong way.
You just want to yank it out of his hands and yeah. throw it in the trash.
Like, just get me a narrative. I need a narrative.
Also, you know, I can't get through narratives with her, really. Mm. I know I talked a while back about like, oh, I'm able to get through books with her now, but that was so short-lived.
Oh, yeah.
She's still pretty impatient and just wants to flip through pages. And so I guess I just have a little more tolerance. But I hear you.
It's That's something I probably should work on as a parent, not being annoyed by those.
Yeah, well, it's all right. They'll go away soon enough once they learn all those words.
I mean, I still read them to him. Like, I'm not an awful human being. I just internally, I'm just like, can I just like, I'll take the 9 millionth reading of Pow Pow Fish over this any day.
I think they love it because it's so simple.
Like, I know
it's really clear. Like what they need to focus on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, the Pow Pow Fish. They're like, what should I look at? The Pow Pow Fish, the octopus, the squid.
The squid is
shimmer.
My guy's favorite.
Oh, really?
He goes. He like points at it and goes. Because he can't say squid, but he like, and then if we're flipping through, he like finds it. Because, you know, once they show up, they're like kind of in the background of all the other pages.
Mm-hmm.
So he like finds the squid. He goes,
that's cute. Anyway, that's all for us this week. It's pretty chill, pretty good. What about you guys?
Yeah, so my guy is 17 months and no weeks, just turned 17 months. And, you know, it's interesting. My check-in's fairly similar. I was going to talk about how just basically he's really connecting things together in a way that is clearly very new and like is very fun to watch. And and it's like, you know, he's been very sort of advanced with his language. So he's like been able to label a lot of things and repeat a lot of words back to us. But like now it's like he's conceptualizing them in a way that he hasn't before. I'm going to give some examples. And one of them was when you talked about music, I was going to talk about how we have been doing music class, like we've been doing these virtual music classes with him because of the, you know, coronavirus. And I have been so like, ugh, I don't know. I've been like, is this worth it? Is it worth the time? Like, he just wants to run around. You know, is he really getting anything out of this? And I've realized that like the repetition of it is actually teaching him something. And the way I discovered this was there's this thing that they do at the beginning of every music class where it's like the hello song and they do like You know, wave, wave, hello, music time is here. And then they'll do like clap, clap, clap or whatever it is, right? Different things. Mm-hmm. But between every one of those verses, the teacher does like a tone matching thing where they're what she teaches is like, you know, your head and like the higher parts of your body are high tones and the lower parts are low tones. So she'll go, it's like a three tone thing where she'll like touch her head and go ba, and then shoulders ba ba, right? So she'll do them in different, so she'll like, after the music time is here, then she'll touch her head like three times and then her shoulder once. So she'll go ba 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 ba, and then she has them repeat it, right? During music class, he just kind of stares at it. Then that song was stuck in my head, right?
Of course, yes.
So I was like making his lunch and in the kitchen, and I was just kind of like in my head going like, clap, 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 hello, clap, 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 hello, like under my breath, right? Clap, 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 hello, music time is here. And then I heard him go, ba, 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 and he was touching his head.
Oh my God, they absorb so much.
And I looked over, I was like, oh, so I did it again, and he did it again. And I was like, oh, you are getting it. And the creepiest thing is that he like matched the tone.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I was talking to my music teacher because it just so happens she's my neighbor. Like, we discovered this by accident a couple months ago.
Cool.
So we walked by her recently on a walk and we were talking and I was like, oh, he's doing the tones. And she's like, yeah, all kids are born with perfect pitch. You just like, we all, like most of us lose it. And
oh,
so, no, I didn't know that. So now I'm like, well, shit, I got to keep going to music class because it's like working. Yeah. So I'm really encouraged by that. I thought that was really interesting to watch how he connected that. Mm-hmm. Some other ways that he's doing this is, okay, do you know the Three Little Ducks, or I don't know, X number of ducks? It's like the song that's like, three little ducks went out to play over the hills and far away. When duck said quack, 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 only two duckies came waddling back. Okay, so the song is about a mommy duck like losing her baby ducks, right? And then the version I know is that the mommy duck goes out, called the ducks, they all come back. I guess there's a version where it's like the daddy duck has to go out and enforce. And like the ducks only come back for the daddy duck. That's not the version I was taught in my mommy and me class. So this is a song we've been singing and we do like sign language with it since my like he was a, you know, 6 month old in mommy and me class, right? And sometimes he will ask for it, right? So we were like changing his diaper before bed. I was actually, it was just me. Corey was off doing something else. And he said quack quack. And I was like, oh, you want the quack quack song? The ducky song. Okay. So I started singing it. And when I got to the part, it was like, only two duckies came waddling back. He started like welling up and frowning.
Aww, what?
And I was like, oh, baby, are you okay? And he started more. So he wanted more. So I got through the song, and every time the duckies didn't come back, he started getting like really sad. So then Corey came in to read a book before bedtime, right? And I was telling him, I was like, oh, we were singing the Three Little Ducks song, and he was getting really sad. And Corey turned to him and was like, Lovebug, were you getting sad when all the ducks came back? And he said that to him, and he just burst out crying.
Like
tears. And it was clearly a sad cry. You know, at this point, you've heard your toddler cry about everything. You can tell like exactly what kind of cry it is. It was like an emotionally deep, sad cry.
Wow.
And I was like, oh my gosh, you understood that the duckies were getting lost. Like, you were sad that they weren't with their mommy. It was, it was like heartbreaking, but also like the cutest thing. You know, I didn't want him to be crying, but I was just like, you're sad about the duckies. We both felt so bad. We like gave him a big hug and we're like, all the duckies came back. Like, it's okay. The mommy found the duckies.
What a like emotional, empathetic little guy he is. That's amazing. I know.
But also to really, you know, I think back to like songs and nursery rhymes I heard as a kid. I don't think I really like thought about the lyrics in that kind of a way, you know? So I was really impressed that he put that together. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
So
that's really cool.
I know. It was very sweet. Okay. And then the last thing is that, you know, he's obsessed with cats. He loves my cats. And like, they're his cats, right? And every night before bedtime, I have to get out the laser pointer to get my my younger cat out of his room. Because the younger, right. And now it's become a thing. The younger cat doesn't even hide anymore because he knows it's like laser pointer time. Well, so now my toddler knows it's laser pointer time. And at the end of dinner, he starts saying dot, because he wants the red dot. So I have to get the red dot and we play with the cat, right? Okay, So then the other day, which is the middle of the day, we were just playing, and he was saying dot, and Cal was looking for the dot. So I was like, all right, I'll play, you know, I'll get the red dot out for Cal, and, you know, Cal is my cat. Cal will run around, right? So my toddler then starts chasing the red dot on all fours, like a cat. And then Cal started cleaning himself, and I said, oh, baby, look, the cat's cleaning himself. And he sat up on his knees, like, got his little hand in a fist, and then started licking it and then, like, rubbing his head. I'm like, oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
He is acting like a cat.
He is. He doesn't have a sibling to mimic right now, so mimic the household pet.
I mean, it's true. Those are the beings he spends probably the most time with other than me and Corey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so hilarious.
I have a video that I'm sure we'll try to put on Instagram of, like, him chasing the red dot with the cat. It's so funny. And, like, then, you know, now I can ask him, like, how do kitty cats clean themselves? And he does it. I'm just like, oh, my God, he's a cat. He's a cat.
Yes. You gave birth to a cat. I mean, we are all expecting it anyway.
So. Yeah.
That is so cute. They're just so hilarious right now. Yeah, like making the connections, but then like making like little mistakes with connections, you know, and doing things inadvertently funny. And it's so fun. One thing Cece's been doing is like, for example, we have a book, an Elmo book. Mm-hmm. With the Sesame Street characters in it. And it's like she recently realized that she also has a stuffed Elmo and a stuffed Ernie, right? So
yeah.
I started reading that book to her out in the living room, and we got to the page where Ernie was on, and she's like, and like hopped out of my lap and started running to her room. And I'm like, where are you going? I thought you wanted to read.
Yeah.
And we go into her room and she finds her Ernie, you know, and her little Elmo. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. That's the same thing. So,
yeah.
Cute.
Connecting things is so interesting.
Yes, it really is.
I love watching it. It's so fun.
So fun.
But that's it for me. We are also kind of having a pretty chill week. So just Good. Watching them grow.
Cool. Should we take a break and come back with our special segment?
I think we should.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know, they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We are back, and this week's special segment is Never Have I Ever, Parenting Edition, the old college drinking game where you tell each other what you've never done before or what you have done, I guess. It's a weird reversal. I don't get it.
I never liked the name of this game. Like, I remember the first time I played it, I was like, I don't get it. If I have done it, but why don't you just say, I have, anyway.
Yeah, it's weird. But anyway, so...
But we're still using it.
It's fun. It rhymes. It's catchy.
Yeah.
So here in this segment, we talk about things that we never have done or would have ever even expected we would have done in life before we had kids or got pregnant. So, Laura, what do you got?
Never have I ever witnessed a urine-related injury.
Well, I can't even imagine what... Yeah. A urine-related injury is.
Yeah, I mean, it's messy. So,
urine in the eye?
No, actually. Here's what happened.
I need to know.
So it was before bedtime and my guy, actually, no, I'm sorry. It was before nap time, which makes it even like sillier. So my guy, I think he's into like a naked phase, but he like doesn't have any like actual like control of his urine at this moment. So he wants to like run around naked, and especially like right before naps. And so I'm like, I tried to change his diaper on the futon before the nap and he broke away, and then he's like running around dancing naked, which of course, like, I'm trying to be all Janet Lansbury and like not react and not give it power, but it's so cute to watch them dance with their little naked bodies, like they're little, and he's so excited, and it's just like, it's the cutest thing. So I kind of let him run around, right? And I was sort of like, baby, it's time for a nap. Like, come on, you got to come over here, right? I was like, baby, we got to get your diaper on or you're going to pee-pee everywhere. And he then was like, pee-pee. And he looked down and pee-peed all over the floor, right? Okay, that's one thing. So we have hardwood floors.
Okay.
And then he starts running because he was so excited by the fact that he had pee-peed. Uh-huh. And I was like, baby, you're going to slip on your pee-pee and hurt yourself. Stop. And so I like go over to where the pee was. I'm trying to wipe it up. Then he goes and pees in another spot. So I go try to get that up. But I didn't realize I hadn't quite like dried up the entire original spot. So then he uh-huh. ran away from me because he thinks this is a game. Uh-huh. Skids on his original pee puddle. And like does this sort of like 180 twisting fall and like face slam right on the ground.
Oh, face slam.
I mean, you know, like when it whips down. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit, did he like lose a tooth? You know, like it looked bad. Like, I think it's like only a matter of time before this kid knocks out a tooth, like the way he's going. Yeah. So, of course, he starts crying. I feel awful. And I was like, baby, this is why I didn't want you running around. I'm so sorry. Mm-hmm. It's like ends up bleeding from somewhere in his mouth. He had one of those like mystery mouth bleeds that they get. You know how they like they cut their mouth somewhere, but you don't know where.
And it's impossible to get a look in there.
Oh, no. Yeah. Just ruined nap time.
Oh, yes. Bad timing.
And yeah, I never thought I'd see him slip on his own pee and injure himself. But here we are.
Here we are. I feel like that's got to happen in frat houses around the world.
Oh, yeah, for sure. There's at least a death or two associated with it.
Urine related.
Yes.
Deaths. Oh, my God. Funny.
Yeah. But he does do this thing now where he's like, pee-pee? And then he pees. So I'm like, you know, like you're getting some awareness of it.
Uh-huh.
But not enough to like not pee-pee all over the house.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So
instead of pee-pee go, it needs to be pee-pee stop.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I should. Mm-hmm. I should try that. Mm-hmm. But I felt bad. I also felt bad, like, because my first reaction was like, baby, that's why I didn't want you to do that, which I know isn't helpful in the moment, you know?
Well, that's how you feel. I mean, that would be my gut reaction, too.
Yeah. Yeah, but he recovered just fine. We wiped it up. Everything was fine. I fear someone coming over with one of those UV lights.
Oh, what they would find in my house.
Oh, my God. It would look like a cleaned up murder scene, except for it's just all pee everywhere.
Probably some blood, too. I mean,
probably some blood. Yeah. For sure. But anyway.
Well, speaking of blood.
Yeah. So do you have a blood related never have I ever?
Yes. Never have I ever gotten another person's blood on my eyeball.
Ew.
So gross.
I hope it was one of your children.
It was, of course. It was just so shocking. So this was Elle, actually, recently. She's been very into pretending to be like puppies and stuff like that, probably because she loves mm-hmm. Paw Patrol and stuff. So she was like hopping around on all fours in the kitchen, but she was wearing one of those fancy ass dresses and like her foot got caught on it and she just face planted right on the Ugh. Kitchen floor.
Ooh,
like just,
ouch.
Yeah, her mouth and nose just straight down. And screaming, crying, and I picked her up immediately. I was like, oh my God. And blood coming from her lip and everything, and I guess she felt it there, and an instinct of hers to get like the feeling off her lip was to go and I was just like, just imagine my face going back like ah, like just instant recoil, like what the hell, and like I'm like, I definitely got that on my eyeball, oh my god, right? And I'm so icked out by things like blood. Mm-hmm. Not as bad as some other bodily fluids. But yeah, I was just like, ah, thank God, this is my child. And I didn't want to respond negatively because I'm trying to comfort her. And so I'm just like slyly trying to wipe the blood off my eyeball as I'm comforting her. And, you know, I got her to calm down and gave her the boo-boo bunny, whatever. And probably like 2 hours later or so, I went to the bathroom. And as I was washing my hands, I looked in the mirror and I just had blood spattered like all over half of my face. No one told me. Like I just went about my day with blood spattered on my face for
someone
for a
called
while.
Dexter. Like, yeah. What is this blood splatter pattern?
Oh, right. Totally. So, yeah, it's just wild, the things, like the weird-ass little situations you get into mm-hmm. with kids sometimes. Like, did that really just happen?
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
It did, and I'm here to tell you about it. But I'm better now. No more blood on my face. No more blood in my eyes, so. Blood in my eyes. Oh, that's such a just gross phrase.
No more blood in my eyes. That should be like a goal for every day. No blood in the eye.
It is my daily goal now. I didn't know I needed that goal. Anyway, do you have another one for us?
I do.
Oh, cool.
Never have I ever realized the pretty plant growing in my backyard was black nightshade.
Ooh, that doesn't sound good.
Is a poisonous plant. So when I found out it was black nightshade, I panicked. I didn't realize it's not as bad as deadly nightshade.
Uh-huh.
Which is good. You don't want to be as deadly nightshade. But when I Googled it, it did say that there were some cases of children eating the berries of black nightshade and dying. Oh, so that was nice. Yeah, so I hadn't like cleaned up my yard very much because we had been doing all this construction, and I finally got around to like just pulling some weeds and doing some stuff in the garden, and I found this plant and I was like, this is actually kind of pretty. Like, I know it's a weed, but like it looks nice. It doesn't look like it's really spreading. Maybe I'll leave it.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, you know, a week or two goes by and I have to go back out and do some more garden work, and it's gotten bigger, and I'm looking at it. It has these like really pretty like white and yellow flowers and these little green berries. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, that looks a lot like a tomato plant, like a lot.
Oh,
and then I was like, wait a second, isn't tomato in the nightshade family?
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked it up and I was like, this is black nightshade.
Whoa.
And apparently the green berries, like before they turn black, are the most poisonous. And my toddler really enjoys going up to my tomato plant and picking the green tomatoes off of them and chewing on them.
Oh,
so I was
no.
like, holy shit. Like, this was just a matter of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I immediately, like, got some gloves and took that thing out. But
yeah. How did it even get there? Like, why would someone plant that?
It's, you know, it's actually like a weed that is really like common, I guess, in our area.
Oh.
And upon further research, it's not as bad as I thought it was. Like, it's not as deadly, especially when the berries are ripe. Like, there are some cultures where they like cook them enough that they're actually like, even though they are a little bit toxic, you could eat them. Like,
oh, cool. Good times.
But I didn't want anything to do with it. And it just reminded me, like, you got to pay attention. So what's going on?
Yes, you really do. And it's a good thing you're part of that Facebook group about poisonous plants.
Well, I couldn't post there, remember, because there wasn't any actual ingestion.
Absolutely not.
I would know where to go
if
I needed to, yeah.
Well, can you give us a brief rundown of like what this looks like so we can be on the lookout for it in our own yards?
Yeah, so it kind of looks like a tomato plant. Like,
what does a tomato plant look like?
All right, so... For those of you who are not familiar, so what you should be really worried about is the deadly nightshade, which looks very different from this. But so it's like they're green leaves that like are not shiny, and they have these little white flowers with their five petaled flowers that point down, and they have little yellow insides, like white and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what a tomato is. Actual tomato looks like, right? Kind of on the vine. Mm-hmm. So they do end up with like little vine like tomato looking little itty bitty, maybe the size of like a pomegranate seed.
Oh, wow.
Kind of thing. Little itty bitty one. So that's kind of what it looks like.
Okay.
But yeah.
Yikes. Good job, Mama, for preventing a future, you know,
call the
tragedy.
Poison control at least. Yeah.
I think
my understanding of like the difference between deadly nightshade and black nightshade has evolved, and realized it wasn't quite as dire, but you still don't want anything like that in your yard.
No.
Turns out, yeah.
Makes me want to do an inventory of all of the plants in my yard, because I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in my yard, a lot of little berries and stuff.
Stay tuned for our BFPs and BFNs. I got a tip for you on that.
Oh, exciting.
But first, I want to hear another never have I ever from you.
Never have I ever prevented a person from eating a bug.
Well, as a parent, like, that's totally believable. What kind of bug?
So I was in the bathroom running Cece's bath, and she was sitting on the rug, and I saw something black and small and didn't think. I was just like, oh, it's probably like a little piece of trash, God knows what, fuzz or something. And I saw her pick it up and put it in her mouth, like start to put it in her mouth. And I was like, oh, no, 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 no. And I went and stopped and grabbed it, and it started crawling on my hand.
Ew.
I
was like, ah.
And I like threw it back down on the rug, and it was like, I think it's like a little stink bug. Like it's like skinny and kind of long and like, so gross. I haven't seen many of these in my house, so I was really surprised. And I was just like, really, girl? Like, she's gotten so much better at not eating random shit, right? She's gotten a lot better, but I can't, obviously can't trust her anymore to avoid things, because she was just about to eat a damn stink bug. So I, that you know, yeah.
Would have been unpleasant. She might have learned a lesson.
She might have. Who knows? I'm sure it didn't taste very good.
I was going to say, I can't drink to that, because I have never actually stopped someone from eating a bug, but in college, I tried, because I love my college, but there was this stupid tradition called the bug eating contest, and I'm sorry if anyone's listening who loved the bug eating contest. I thought it was disgusting and awful, and it's exactly what you think it is. They get bugs and people eat them and people cheer for them. I could never watch it.
Whoa.
I can't even barely talk about it.
Yeah.
But my boyfriend in college wanted to participate, and I couldn't talk him out of it.
Oh, I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you met him. You met him later. So I can't say I've stopped someone from eating a bug, because I could not stop him from eating a bug. I did refuse to, like, see him for 24 hours after that. I was really pissed.
That would be hard to kiss someone after they've just eaten a bug buffet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's really gross. Well, when my brother was little, there's this legend, a story from his childhood, and he was about our kid's age, 1.5 or so, and he was on the kitchen floor. My parents had some friends over or something, and all of a sudden my mom sees him kind of like munching on something. She's like, what's that? And she puts her finger in his mouth, and his mouth opens up and a fly flies out of his mouth.
Come on.
So it's like, did he catch it and put it in there alive, or did it fly in while he was yawning? I don't know.
But both kind of impressive.
Very impressive. I could barely catch a fly. I mean, I've told you my saga of like trying to go around a kitchen trying to catch a fly and get it with the swatter. They're hard to catch.
We had flies recently, and I thought about getting one of your electric swatters.
Oh, girl, you have to. It's the best. It's good for mosquitoes, too.
Oh, ooh, mosquitoes. Yeah, we get those. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, I'm glad you stopped Cece from eating that bug.
Thanks. That'll be the story I tell her when she gets older.
And I hope you don't have any more blood in your eye this week.
Thank you so much. Let's take a break and come back with our BFPs and BFNs, shall we?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the ringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. And we're back. So we close every show with our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
BFN. I know. It's been a long time since I've had a BFN. Mm-hmm. And it is, I think Cece might be allergic to bananas.
What? Oh my God. Wait, aren't you allergic to some weird stuff? Are you allergic to a banana? Just one. You're just allergic to one specific.
Yes, only one banana found rarely in the world. Yeah, let me explain. So I've been wondering, you know, I'm always wondering with her because she's got like the, you know, tummy issues. Now she has the eczema issues. And so I'm always kind of like playing with like her food and stuff to see. And I've always kind of noticed an association like with banana puree back in the day when she was an infant. Mm-hmm. And then like later discomfort, more crying at night, you know, that kind of thing, her night terrors or whatever. So I've had periods of like cutting banana out and then she got older and I was like, oh, bananas are so awesome, you know. Let me try giving her a real banana. And she ate real bananas for a while and, you know, her eczema has been flaring up and blah, blah, blah. So recently, I haven't put her back on dairy, by the way, right? Because I was trying to cut out.
Yeah.
I cut out dairy.
That was your most recent elimination, was dairy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And the eczema's gotten a little bit better. And I gave her bananas the other day, and I just noticed, like, all her red spots just, like, flared up, right? And then she'll wake up at night, like, crying and arching and doing that whole weird thing. And then the other day, Elle found a stock of, this is not going to seem related at first, but I'll tie it together. She found a stock of balloons. Okay. And we have a big balloon blower upper fun thing. So she's like, let's play with balloons. So we blew up, like, 15 balloons and like we would blow them up and like let them go and they would fly across the room and Cece was playing with them and all this stuff and it was really fun. And oh my God, after Cece played with these balloons, her eczema breakouts got really bad, like super flared up, bigger than I'd seen in ages.
Wow.
And the reason they're related is because, as you mentioned, I do have an allergy to bananas and latex and avocados and kiwis. And it's because they're all related to the rubber tree. So it's called a latex food syndrome. Mm-hmm. So I can't eat these foods that come from plants related to the rubber tree.
Yeah.
And so I was like, after I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, maybe she is allergic to the latex and the bananas have been affecting her. Mm-hmm. And maybe that is a cause of a lot of her problems. So here I am again trying to cut more stuff out of her life, including bananas and balloons.
Well, just latex balloons. Mylar balloons are okay, right?
Yes, yes, that is true. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but hot tip, you can save and reuse Mylar balloons.
Oh,
yeah,
just bring them back to get reinflated?
Yeah. So we got a huge bouquet of them for Elle's birthday. And I was like, I don't want to just toss these. They're really cool. And so I looked up online how to deflate Mylar balloons. Mm-hmm. And you have to take a straw and like push it through the hole and into the balloon. And then you can push the air out. That's how you deflate them. And you save them. And you can bring them back for helium. But like I mentioned, we have a, it's not helium, but it's an automatic balloon blower upper. You put mm-hmm. the balloon on it and it goes and like blows up a balloon fast.
Just with regular old air.
Yeah. So I filled up a bunch of our leftover Mylar balloons. And so that's what they've been playing with. So that
that's
is
fun.
A good solution.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like latex allergies are so common. That's why no one, you know, you never, ever see latex in a doctor's office anymore.
That is not true.
What? Really?
Coming from someone who has a latex, I don't know if it's technically an allergy, but it's definitely a sensitivity. Through all my IVF procedures, like, you know, you go so often, you have to get the transvaginal ultrasounds mm-hmm. and everything, and they put like latex condoms basically on those wands.
Mm-hmm.
I always, always have to say and remind them, I'm allergic to latex. And they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, let's go find one that's not. And then they'll find like a non-latex glove and
yeah.
stick that
oh,
on the
man.
Wand and then put it inside. So it's like, there is, I'm surprised by how many doctor's
really?
Offices have latex gloves and supplies. Yeah.
Huh. I just thought it was so common that they've just moved to neoprene for everything, but
yeah,
or whatever. Is it neoprene? I think it's neoprene.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, so how long have you been off of the latex rubber related stuff with Cece? Have you seen an improvement?
Only about a week. And, you know, I don't know, because that last flare up is still healing
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
So I've got to kind of, I mean, if I really want to test it, you know, I've got to repeat the experiment, I guess, at some point. And once it's cleared up, give her balloons or give her bananas mm-hmm. and see what happens. And it's just such a sucky experiment because you're like, what I'm about to do may or may not cause you skin discomfort and intestinal discomfort.
Well, could you instead take her to like an allergist and do like skin tests?
That is possible. I might do that. The only reason I hesitate is like the pediatric dermatologist that we saw mm-hmm. for her eczema. I'm like, should we take her to an allergist to see about maybe a dairy intolerance mm-hmm. or whatever? And she's like, you can, but it's so unlikely to yield useful results at this age.
Oh, interesting. So maybe they don't react the same way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, do you remember when I finally went and got an allergy test, like the skin
mm-hmm.
test? They
mm-hmm.
did like the big panel. It was like 100-something pricks of what all the different, you know, for people who've never done it, like they like basically prick your skin with a tiny mm-hmm. bit of like a million different allergens. And then they wait and see what reacts.
Mm-hmm.
And literally nothing reacted.
Oh, so, my God, are you serious?
Yeah, but the allergist was
wow.
like, well, this is weird because you clearly have seasonal allergies. She's like,
uh-huh.
you have all the symptoms of seasonal allergies, but like this didn't work. So I thought it was funny because my mom, before I went, she was like, I can't believe you're going to an allergist. They're just going to like find things that you know, those things always turn up something. And then you're going to be like, I'm allergic to horsehair or whatever. So she was like, just know that if you get reactions, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to avoid it. And I was like, I got a reaction to nothing. The only thing that reacted was the control. They like inserted pure histamine into me and that welled up. So
that is so funny. I've gotten those tests since I was a kid, you know, since like 8 years old. And
mm-hmm.
so much shit always reacts. And it's so funny that your mom said that because I remember when I was a kid, like, oh, you're allergic to cows. And it's like, obviously not the meat, like the cow hair, I guess.
Yeah.
So like if I go hang out in a field of cows, I will have an allergic reaction, which is unlikely in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah, it doesn't happen a lot in your life that you end up
no.
next to a cow.
No. But yeah, you know, I do have a lot of allergies. I've got this latex thing. And so I'm like, well, maybe I passed it on to her. Maybe
mm-hmm.
she's got that. So,
well, and it took you a long time to figure out that latex thing, right?
Oh, way too long. Not until my late 20s. Yeah. Yep. I was always like, why do I always feel completely sick to my stomach for hours after I eat avocados? Yeah, so it was that. Then it was like, why am I always so uncomfortable after using a condom? And then bananas make me sick. And then it finally put them all together years later.
I had, before you told me about that, I had no idea that bananas, avocados, latex, kiwi, all that stuff is all related. So,
Yeah, I don't think a lot of people do know that. And when I do tell people I'm allergic to avocado, they are usually floored. They just like don't believe it. Like it's something people shouldn't be allergic to or something. I don't know why. And I don't know. I am. It makes me sick.
People just want you to eat that guac. Chipotle wants you to spend extra money on that guac.
It is. It's expensive for like a little plop of guac. But I love it. I love it. I hate that I can't eat avocados and guacamole. Hope I haven't destined Cece to a life of that.
There are worse things.
Absolutely. But so it's a saga that continues, and I will continue to update you as I discover more. But that's
Please
my kind
do.
Of like, oh, bummer this week, kind of putting that all together in my mind.
But it's good that you figured it out, or at least you're trying, you know?
Yes.
It's a good revelation.
Yes. So that's mine for this week. What about you? BFP or BFN?
I've got a BFP.
Oh, cool.
So I had teased it in our Never Have I Ever segment, but my BFP is this app called iNaturalist. Mm-hmm. Have you heard of it?
So it's EYE or
no,
the letter I,
like the letter I, like, you know, iPod, iPad, how like everything was I something back in the day. Yeah. So it's iNaturalist, and it's an app that allows you to identify plants, which is so cool. It uses your like location. And then what you do is you like take a picture of something you don't know, like you take a good sort of close up photo of a plant. So it's a little confusing because what they're doing is trying to like create a community of naturalists who are observing things in their world, right, in their environments. I use it to identify poisonous plants in my yard. So you click on observe, right? It's like you upload a picture, right? And then they're asking you, what did you see? But if you don't know, you can click on the view suggestions and they give you a list of species, like specific things based on your location and what they see in the photo. And it's really pretty accurate.
That's
and actually,
awesome.
I just tried it with a photo I took at the park the other day of a butterfly, and it actually identified the butterfly.
Oh, it does more than plants?
I guess I didn't realize this. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And then you can click on the suggestions and get more information and see like where they're found. And, you know, it's really, really cool. So I love it. It's been very helpful for identifying plants. That's how I figured out that it was black nightshade in my yard.
Right.
Yeah.
Does it give you information about the plant? Like, it's like black nightshade, stay away, this is poisonous, or do you have to Google the name of the plant?
You then have
to
Google. Like, so it gives you the genus of the plant, and then you can go. I mean, it gives you a little bit of information. You can go on, you can like click through for more. But I then like went to poison.org and plugged it in, you know? So
cool. Do you take a picture of like the whole plant, or do you get a close up of the leaf?
I found that it works better if you are a little closer. So like a close up of the leaf or the flower, something that's identifying, you know, something that makes it look unique. You know, I think if you're real far away, maybe if it's a tree, a big picture would be helpful. But yeah. Closer up of the leaves and stuff. So that's how I've identified stuff. It's actually fun when you travel too, because you can like, it knows your location if you allow it to. And so like I have in my observations, I saw that I had identified a tree in Hawaii the last time we had been there. Because, you know, when you're traveling, you don't know a lot of the plants.
Oh, yeah, that's cool.
So I identified a sea almond in Hawaii, and you know, you can learn about it. I remember when I was on the beach in Hawaii, this was back when I was pregnant. I was like looking it up and like learning about it, and I learned all this history about the sea almond tree, and I don't know, it's just fun to nerd out. So iNaturalist.
I like it. Well, now I have a tool to go around my yard and take pictures of things. There are several that have berries, and it's one of those things I'm always like, Cece, no, you know, get that berry out of your mouth.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I should probably make sure that those aren't totally
take a
poisonous.
Picture. Take a picture of like the berries with the leaves behind it, and I bet they'll be able to identify it.
Okay, cool. I'm going to definitely try that.
Cool. It's free too. That's the other thing.
Yes, my favorite kind of thing in life.
But yeah, mine is short and sweet, but I hope it'll help people identify plants and I guess animals in their area.
Yeah. I'm going to try it on my dog, Chili.
It'll say genus stinker.
Genus cutie pie.
Cutie pie stinker pants.
Oh, all right. I guess that's it for our show today. Mm-hmm. If you guys have any never have I evers, please share them with us, or any good BFPs or BFNs that you've experienced recently, reach out and let us know. Love hearing from our listeners. Laura, remind everyone where they can reach us.
We are on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com, or you can send us a voice memo or just a plain old email to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can also join our Facebook community group. It's a private group, so no one will know you joined. Just search for Big Fat Positive Community and request to join, and I will add you.
If you know someone who is trying to conceive, pregnant, a new parent, spread the word. Let them know about Big Fat Positive. And if you haven't done so yet, please consider rating and reviewing us wherever you listen to podcasts. Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.